I'm certainly grateful for your prayers for the work of Scripture in our area. It was tremendous this particular week. A young lady in Year 7, at the end of last year, made a commitment of faith. And she was encouraged this year to read the Scriptures, which she has done, and has decided in the last couple of weeks that she believes that she'll be baptised. And so we're going to baptise her this coming Saturday afternoon in the lake at Shingle Splinters. It's interesting because her parents are not Christians at all, and though they do not understand what she's done or why she's done it, the fact that they will be present at that time. So pray for us that even at that opportunity we're able to share our faith with her parents at that time next Saturday, which is terrific. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity of being here. We just pray that as we read through these scriptures and understand a little bit more, we pray your Holy Spirit may do that. Give us a further insight so that we may be able to understand more and trust you more, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. The story of the Passover and the plagues and all of those things in Exodus is a story that I've probably told dozens of times, and you've probably read it dozens of times, and you've probably heard it dozens of times. And it's sort of an interesting story. It's, I believe, a picture of the Christian life, and that's why we're going through the Exodus story. It talks about people in bondage, it talks about redemption, it talks about living in obedience, it talks about baptism, and it talks about the way of life, God's provision for us. But I believe it even goes deeper than that. It gives us an insight into a spiritual battle that's going on. And of course, I've mentioned on numerous occasions, as a Christian, we're in a spiritual battle. And if we're not aware of that, then indeed we are so easily tempted and we so easily are led into sin. It's a picture of the gods of Israel and the God of Israel, not the gods of Israel, the God of Israel and the many and varied gods of the Egyptian people. And as we read in the scriptures, there's this battle going on. And of course, we find that the God of Israel, I am, is the one who indeed conquers and is uplifted and glorified. I wonder whether I can use this. Is it going to work? It's worked. Okay. Thank you. Right. I read this particular scripture last time. Basically what it's saying is the Exodus story is an example for us to learn from. And I trust that we do. And the other scripture that we looked at last time when I spoke was this scripture here that says, God said to Abraham, your descendants will be strangers in a land not their own. That was Egypt. And they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. They were slaves. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves. And afterwards, they will come out with great possessions. And so, during that period of 400 years and during the period that we're going to talk about today, they were slaves and they were really punished. And of course, Egypt was certainly punished as well. Let's look at some of the factors that we've probably already looked at. If I can get this to work. There we go. Here we find a picture of Moses in the bulrushes. Love the picture. Moses was born, and the Egyptians told the children of Israel that they were indeed to kill to kill the boys. And of course, Moses' mother protected and placed in the River Nile here, and Moses was protected by God. I think there's something wrong with my finger, but it's all right. We don't get there. It's coming, is it? Use the... Oh, here we go. Here we go. Right. Having been taught who Moses was by his parents, then he was and talked about the Jewish God, Israel God, he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And here his mother is presenting him to Pharaoh's daughter. Having a bad day, sorry. Just as the saviour of his people, unfortunately Moses took it on himself to achieve this by killing one of the Egyptian people. And here we have a picture of that. Because of this, he fled into the desert and was taken into Jethro's home and married one of his daughters. And there he was there for a period of 40 years. However, yeah, you better change it. Thank you, Dick. However, while he was there, the cry of God's people in Egypt came up to him. Next one. It was in the desert that Moses was preparing Moses in the areas of his memory, in terms of his forgiveness, in terms of monotony, in terms of being able to meditate, and in terms of his marriage, the ability to understand others. I love the quotation that I found. It took 40 years of Moses to learn to be something. It took him 40 years to learn to be a nothing. And it took him 40 years to learn what a great deal God could achieve with a nothing, if that nothing was yielded to God. I like that. It was there that Pastor Andy would have talked to you about the fact that God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, the I Am. And he was sent back with Aaron, back to Egypt, to have the message to the Pharaoh to let his people go. And if we move on to the next one, that would be great. Yes, Moses came back, and he had the message, "Let my people go," said the Lord. The Pharaoh rejected this message. Moses' gods had increased the burden on his people. So we find a number of incidences through this. If we go to the next one. We notice if we read the story of the fact of the staff being thrown down and turning into a snake, the magicians doing likewise. However, the staff was eaten up, or the snake ate up the magician's snakes as well. And then we have those plagues that occurred. First one was the turning the river into blood. It's interesting, isn't it? The first of the miracles of Jesus was turning water into wine. But the magicians from Egypt was able to achieve doing that as well. Next one, please. The second plague was the plague of frogs. Came out of the Nile. Frogs were everywhere. They were in the houses, in the beds, in the bedrooms, and it drove people mad. The third of the plagues was the third of lice. Aaron and Moses sowed dust, and the lice covered the land. It's interesting, the water turning to blood, and the plague of frogs was able to be achieved by the magicians of Egypt. But in this particular case, they were not able to replicate this. It's interesting, the confession of the magicians. So saying this is the hand of a god. Interesting. Followed, if we do the next one, we get followed by the plague of flies. I don't like flies at all. I remember going on a bush walk way out in the west on one occasion. I began my teaching at Bawana, which is right out beside Broken Hill. I remember on one very, very hot day I went out. We were going to do some shooting, actually, with some of the young fellows from school. I remember sitting down for lunch and all of a sudden we were attacked by thousands and thousands and thousands of flies. Don't like flies. And so the Egyptians didn't like the flies at all. And the next plague was the death of cattle, where the sheep and the goats and the cattle and the horses and were dead. Then we had the plague of the boils, and then the plague of hail. Then there was the plague of locusts. They came up and they possessed the land, they covered the land. Anything that was alive was eaten by the locusts. They ate. I, on one occasion, spoke at a house party out at Dubbo. And the minister of the church lived close to Dubbo itself. And he was telling us on one occasion they were living there and they were attacked by a plague of locusts. He said there were locusts everywhere. Locusts came up onto the roof, they came down the drain pipes, they came through the air conditioning. They were in the bedrooms, they were in the bathrooms, they were everywhere. Locust everywhere. They just came and they ate everything. I don't think I'd like to be in a place like that. Then there was darkness. Darkness came upon the land. Then the final plague is the one to do with the Passover itself. And the people were told to take a lamb, a year old, without blemish, without any particular blemish at all, without any particular fault at all. It was to live with the family for a period of time, and then it was to be sacrificed to God. They were to kill the lamb. Next one, please. They were to kill the lamb and place the blood, as we read this morning, on the doorway. This was to be an act of faith. And then they were to partake in the Passover meal, which is the next one. And we'll go back, if we could. Okay. And during that particular plague, the angel of death came over, and the firstborn of the Egyptian and animals were dead, were killed, and there was great mourning in the land of Egypt. It's interesting during those particular plagues that Pharaoh on some occasions almost allowed his people to go, or the children of Israel to go. On one occasion he said, well, why won't you go and sacrifice in our country? Why don't you go out and stay in the side of our land so we can see what you're doing? On another occasion he said, why don't you leave your families behind and go and worship? And on another occasion he said, why don't you leave your cattle and stock behind and then go and worship? Interesting, isn't it? But ultimately he was happy to see them go. My question to myself, and there's that picture of the Passover meal. Fascinating if you get a chance to sit down and read through the Passover meal. I've had the privilege of being able to, when I was in Israel, sit down and have the meal explained to me in all detail and all the process involved with that. Fascinating it is. What each of those things represent. But my thoughts this morning are really on the condition of the people, which is our next slide, if we could please, if we've got it coming up. What was, or what is, the condition of all people? Well, the Bible tells us, if we go to the next slide, please. The Bible tells us that these... Thank you. I think it's me, actually. It's probably not you, it's probably me. I've got a wrong finger or something or other. They were, and we are, all slaves. Bible tells us in both Romans and in John, it says, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. So we're all slaves to sin. Before I became a Christian, I was led, I was deceived, and it was so easy for me to sin. I was a slave to sin. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Secondly, we go back. We're going too fast. Secondly, they were the people in Egypt, and we are all sinners. Go back one more. There we go. Thank you. The Bible teaches us that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. They were, we are, all sinners. Sin is when we fall short of God's standard. We are not perfect. My wife continues to remind me that we are not perfect. Bible tells me when I break God's law, I've sinned. Bible tells me when I live for myself, rather than considering what God would have me do, I've sinned. And no wonder I can see that the Bible is right, that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. It's one thing, Sandy. And that we are all, they were, we are all under condemnation. If the people didn't put the blood on the lintels of their door, they would have been under judgment. The firstborn would have been killed. But it was the blood on the door that protected them from that judgment. But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Yes, we're all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. That was the condition of the people at that time. That's the condition of people today. So my question to myself is, what then is, what then was, God's way of salvation for those people and for us? And perhaps so we've gone off the air. Well, is it going to work? First of all, the people were to take a lamb. Remember, it was 1 year in age. It was without any fault at all. They were to take a lamb. For us, we need to realise that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They took a lamb. A lamb was provided for us in Jesus. Secondly, they were to take that lamb and they were to sacrifice it. So we find in the scriptures that Jesus came to reveal the way to the Father, to teach us about the kingdom of God. Not only to teach us about the kingdom of God, but demonstrate the life in the kingdom. But he came to die on a cross. And Isaiah tells us this, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers was silent, so he did not open his mouth. So the lamb was brought. The lamb was sacrificed. Jesus came as the lamb to take away the sins of the world. He walked obediently to his Father to the cross, and there he died upon the cross. For them, it was the planting of the blood on the lintels. For us, it was the fact that Jesus came and died on a cross. The Bible teaches us quite clearly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I am reminded over and over and over in Scripture that God loves us unconditionally. Yes, that sin that separates from us, but God loves us and sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we might have salvation. In Romans 5:8, it talks about the fact that God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Salvation is a gift from God. There's nothing that you or I can do that will save us at all. God came and died on a cross. Yes, it was the blood on the lintels that saved them. For us, it's Christ's death. He died, but yet he rose again. And so the question I ask myself, and I share with you this morning, is that how can then we can be redeemed? If Christ has provided the way of escape, just like he did to the Egyptian, the Israelite people at the time of the Passover, how can we be saved today? Well, the Bible teaches us, Paul teaches us and declares to us the fact that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That scripture I shared with you before. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible teaches us that salvation is available to us. In Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, I love to talk to children. That's what I do. I teach scripture wherever I go, and been involved in kids type programs and all of those sorts of things. And I love to teach children about the fact that it's so easy in many regards to become part of God's family. First thing we need to do is say sorry for the things that we've done wrong. We need to thank Jesus for dying on a cross for us. We need to ask him to come into our life, to be our Lord, to be our Saviour, and to be our friend. And all we've got to do is say yes. The Bible teaches us today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Today we can become part of God's family. You know, I don't know, though I've been here a long time, I don't know where you fit into all of this. You may be coming because you've got Christian parents who drop you off. Maybe you have come to a place, well, I understand and I believe a lot of this stuff, but I don't know whether you're part of God's family. I don't know. But you know, one day Jesus is coming back, and you need to know where you fit in. You need to know. Jesus came because he loved us. Jesus came because he knew we needed salvation. He came and died on a cross and rose again to be your Lord, to be your Saviour, to be your friend. You need to know where you're going to spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And you know, I want this morning, I don't know, I want us to pray. I'm going to pray a commitment prayer. I don't know where you fit in, but I'm going to pray a commitment prayer. It's between you and God. Christianity isn't a religion. It's a relationship between a God who loves us and wants the very best for us. So I invite you to bow your head. I'm going to pray. If you want to pray this prayer after me, then I'd love you to be able to do so. If you don't know or are not sure, I suggest you pray this prayer anyway. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're sorry for the things that we do wrong. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying on a cross for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Saviour, to be my friend. I'm going to say yes to you this morning, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, then the Bible says that you are a child of God. The Bible says that your sins are forgiven. The Bible says that you have the gift of eternal life. I was once asked, when I was talking about the Christian life, about the fact that the Christian life is not easy. And the question was asked, why do I want to be a Christian? And I must confess, I thought that through, and I thought, well, there is no one else that I know who has the words of eternal life. You know, assurance comes from the Scriptures. The Bible says in 1 John 5:11-12, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son has life. And he that doth not have the Son does not have life. You know, the people of God at the time in Egypt, they were sent out so they could worship God. We have the Scriptures today to assure us that we're part of God's family, that God loves us, God is with us, God will strengthen us, God will direct us. God will guide us. Just as the children of God at that time began the journey to the promised land, following Moses, the Christian life is a lifetime journey, following Jesus, who is our Lord, who is our Saviour, and who is our friend. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as we look back into the Scriptures, we see these pictures of the Christian life as demonstrated in this story of the Passover. We see the lamb taken, sacrifice, the blood on the lintels. Judgment was averted because of that by faith. And so, Father, as we think and as we look and as we read, we know that Jesus came as the Lamb of God. He lived a life showing us the way we ought to live. And Father, he died on a cross to pay the punishment of our sin. And Father, we pray this morning that indeed we may be willing to be obedient as we follow him and allow him to work within us, so that we may be changed to be like Jesus. For this we would ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.